students are hard-pressed to get. And Officer Connor Carey came up to her and searched through her bag of recyclables and found an empty beer can. And he turned it upside down, and a few drops of beer dripped out of it. And then he cited her for an open container. I don't think that this is the kind of behavior that we're going to applaud in exemplary officers who are so.
We've also heard from Bob Duran, a street musician and activist, that Connor Carey was interested in citing him for making terrorist threats when Bob Duran was playing music of a socially critical nature outside the Catalyst. That wasn't the Catalyst, it was the Bookshop Santa Cruz and the ID building, and the notorious homeless baiter and the anti-homeless store manager Stuart Martin of the ID building came out and filed complaints against Bob that were used to arrest him, but all charges were dropped. Carey's police report, according to Bob Duran, had recommendations that Duran be cited for making terrorist threats. Now, these are judgment calls, and Officer Carey has a right to his opinion. He has a right to be conservative in his opinion. This doesn't mean he's a killer.
Also, Nick Whitehead of SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now, reported to us that Connor Carey was one of the officers that had been accused of undue violence in some of the Gulf War protests, where he had, according to this report, had taken one of the demonstrators and thrown him up against the hood of a car using undue force. And he was described by some of the protesters there as being one of the leaders of this police action.
So there are questions about maybe some instances in Carey's past that might have been useful, at least in coming forward one way or another, though they aren't necessarily directly relevant to this case. My concern has been the broader issue of how homeless people are treated on the mall and downtown and in Santa Cruz generally by the police, and how this killing and the police department's reaction to it and the city council and their so-called watchdog group, the Citizens Police Review Board's reaction to it, is affecting police behavior towards the homeless.
Well, I heard a very disturbing story of some homeless people who got into a conversation with some police officers. I guess they were upset over the Dine shooting. And the officer said, "Oh, you better be careful, so I hope I don't have to shoot you, because just imagine, I would have to live with that for the rest of my life, having shot you."
And it's interesting. That's the story. Well, that's the reality, of course, for Officer Connor Carey, but it's also the great selling point that was used by Carey's father-in-law, Steve Long, at the city council meeting on Tuesday night.
And let's not forget council member Michael Hernandez, who said, "I think the person who suffered the most here has been Connor Carey," where he was virtually shouted at by every member of the audience, yelled, "What about John Dine?"
And his response to that was, "Dine essentially is gone and is suffering no more." So I guess that means that the killers suffer more than the victims. An interesting point of view from Hernandez's point of view. And again, I'm not trying to demean Carey's situation here. What I'm saying is the process by which this has all been done is leaving all kinds of questions unanswered. And frankly, for me, the basic questions we had before, which is the fact that many witnesses not only didn't see a gun in Dine's hand, or even see him reaching for a gun, but they specifically saw him not reaching for a gun, and they saw his hands empty. This is testimony that contradicts even Connor Carey's story.
Okay.
What do you have to say about that?
Yeah. Well, okay, here's the Carey version.
And that was Becky Johnson giving us an analysis of the Citizens Police Review Board's and the City Council's response to the Happy John Dine slaying, which has in essence been to rubber stamp, that's really the best way to put it, the police department's activities and the police department's higher-ups' decision that this was a justifiable shooting, with nary a word of criticism of any substantive sort and nary a recommendation that would really go to other issues that I think were raised by this, not the least of which has to do with homeless people and how they're treated on the mall and how police officers generally regard the homeless, and in fact how they're encouraged to regard the homeless by the city council's anti-homeless legislation, by the merchants who encourage the police to well, it used to be called cattle herd, the homeless. That's what Sergeant Hennig used to call it when he would move the homeless along. Cattle herd was actually the word he used in his official reports. On that issue, I'd like to encourage those who still want to continue following this case. A group called Santa Cruzans for Full Disclosure that I'm a member of and that Becky Johnson is also a member of will be meeting in about half an hour, actually 45 minutes, downtown at the Coffee Roasting Company, which is on Pacific Avenue. We're going to be talking because several individuals at the city council meeting were so dissatisfied that they wanted themselves to continue looking into the issue, possibly forming their own tribunal, possibly looking into some kind of independent investigation. We had originally talked about doing this about a month and a half ago and lined up a few competent professionals who are willing to volunteer their time. One of them is Attorney Osha Newman, former Police Review Commissioner of Berkeley, Attorney David Beauvais, local radio commentator Mike Ackerman have all volunteered their services. I believe Nick Whitehead has also said he'd be willing to help. He works with a group called Stop Police Abuse Now. Again, the issue here is to find out what actually happened that night. The so-called conspiracy theorists that Becky mentioned briefly, it should be noted that most people on Santa Cruzans for Full Disclosure who really were angry with the police department were not angry with the police department because they thought there was some conscious plan to kill Happy John Dine, though some, you know, may have thought that. And I don't think that was the majority view. I think, at least, I can, speaking for myself, I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. But we know that Connor Carey pulled out his gun and shot John Dine, according to Sergeant Crane, within 5 seconds of emerging from the police car. Now, maybe that's not true because Crane wasn't there either, but that's how he described it. He was certainly, as the head of the Police Officers Association in town, he has a certain perspective on it and can talk to officers more freely than we can. Carey shoots John Dine. All the non-police witnesses say one thing. All the police witnesses say another. The police department closes the case within 10 days. The Citizens Police Review Board refuses to do an independent investigation early in November, refuses to meet in December on the issue, finally holds meetings behind closed doors, admittedly holding 3 meetings, which it takes some video testimony of witnesses who were not approached by the police department, who did most of the interviewing of witnesses, and I believe the district attorney's office interviewed witnesses, the two police officers and Ben Newman, the catalyst bouncer in the back seat of the police car. And if you want to read that, by the way, and you want to check over some of the allegations that were made, the report is still in the public library. There were many contradictions, particularly in the testimony of the 3 officers. And, of course, the most radical contradictions were with the story that Dine was pointing a weapon. Everybody disagreed with that. So what the Police Review Board found was, the police department was wrong about this, but they're not to be censured, and none of the complaints are to be upheld. And further, there's not going to be any further investigation, no public hearings, no subpoenaing of evidence or witnesses. That's it. They closed the book on the case. Now, Becky Johnson and I have kind of talked about some of the reasons why this was a wholly inadequate response in terms of some of the specifics of the case. We actually should go into the details of why Ben Newman, Connor Carey, and Marty Over need to be re-examined publicly on this issue, because the specific contradictions that you will find when you go down and read that police report. And I'm hoping that there'll be possibly an article on that subject, possibly a flyer soon. And we're going to certainly be talking about that among Santa Cruzans for Full Disclosure if you come down to the meeting tonight at the Coffee Roasting Company at 8:30. I'm also going to be reading you a speech that I prepared for City Council on Tuesday night but was unable to give because the mayor decided to give everybody only 2 minutes. And this speech is about 4 or 5 minutes, I guess 3 and a half if you rush through it. I gave some of it and then got cut off, and I was also trying to respond to some other things that were said and done and didn't do so very successfully, but that's how it goes. And now, of course, I have my own opportunity to make this speech now, and I'm going to present it for you. We're going to be talking about a reenactment of the Happy John Dine shooting for a videotape. What happened? A car pulls up. Try to figure out how it would have been. Maybe get somebody on the roof of the New Leaf, like Alani Balawager was. Have people in different locations looking at that time of night. Now, admittedly, we can't quite recreate the November conditions, but we're interested in... That's one possibility we've been discussing doing. Other possibilities are legal responses, because possibly a wrongful death suit can be initiated through a relative of John Dines or the legal representative of one of those relatives. And again, possibly an independent tribunal can be gotten together. A lot of this depends on how interested the community is. So if you're interested in this, come on down to the Coffee Roasting Company at 8:30 tonight. Or if you can't come then, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833, headquarters for both Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and a call-in number for the Santa Cruzans for full disclosure. Now this speech that I was going to give at City Council, you're going to get it now. And it's entitled, Our Citizens Police Review Board Has No Answers, Unhappy Burial for Happy John Dine. Yesterday's Sentinel had a half-page ad, actually it was Monday's Sentinel, paid for by six Citizens Police Review Board members announcing its, quote, findings. Sentinel writer Karen Clark came out with two more creative descriptions of why Officer Carey gunned down Happy John Dine. Her most recent creation, on January 26th, reads, he began to draw a handgun from his waist area. Previously, she wrote, that all agreed that Dine appeared to be reaching for a gun in his pocket or waistband. Commenting on this, by the way, in an aside from the speech, if you're reaching for a gun, that's one thing. If you're drawing a gun, that's another. What you need, of course, is close questioning to find out what was meant. Reaching, drawing, or pointing. Or perhaps it was none of the three. And perhaps in the eagerness to get some kind of a story together, a story was given to justify the conduct of the officers. I don't know. But none of us are going to know, because all we have are these contradictory accounts by two officers and their friend Ben Newman and the 10 witnesses who saw nothing in Dine's hand. And many of them, well, some, as I said before, some of them say nothing in his hand, some of them say couldn't see his hands clearly, but none of them say he had a weapon in his hand. So it's the question is to the City Council and the Citizens Police Review Board, why have an independent investigation or alternately public hearings? Because you need to carefully examine the testimony and ask the kind of questions that the police department didn't ask in order to determine these crucial areas of ambiguity and then decide who to believe and what happened. Continuing with my speech. The official story was, before Karen Clark's latest changes, that Dine had a toy gun in his hand. Karen Clark is the main writer for the Sentinel, has been covering this story, and has just had a continuously anti-homeless perspective, trashing and ignoring activists trying to raise these issues. That Happy John Dine had a toy gun in his hand, was pointing it at police in a threatening manner, and had assumed a combat stance. I say official because that was the story Police Chief Steve Belcher gave out 3 hours after the killing, that he and Art Danner gave out again 15 hours after the killing, and that they both gave out again within 10 days when the case was officially closed. The news story was the conclusion of the CPRB, this is a story, another change, which subpoenaed none of the 10 or more eyewitnesses, did not visit the crime scene, declined to cross-examine the police officers involved, took no initiative to determine if there were any complaints of misconduct in either officer's jacket, didn't ask if Dine were known to these men and or harassed by them before. These and the questions that follow need answering. You have before you policy recommendations around issues that really have little to do with the shooting of a poor counterculture man with a mental disability. Instead of considering banning toy guns or investigating the home that Dine was in or making sure officers have good training on dealing with mentally disabled people on the mall, let's consider some other recommendations and these questions. Should officers use soft-nosed bullets that do deadly damage when dealing with locals? Perhaps instead of worrying about toy guns, we should turn our attention to the real guns and other weapons of devastation like pepper spray that our police force has given such easy permission to use. But our CPRB, our Citizens Police Review Board, has no answers. When a police officer is being investigated for murder, what is his partner doing back at the scene of the crime, as Officer Over was several hours after the shooting? I know that because I saw him there, and he's on videotape. Our Citizens Police Review Board has no answers. Under what circumstances should officers call for backup instead of rush in with their guns out, as officers Carey and Over did in this case, not to protect a member of the public, not to free a hostage, but to rein in an eccentric well-known to at least one of the officers? I'm told that such caution is a normal practice in dealing with bank robberies and such. How did this situation differ? Our Citizens Police Review Board has no answers. Don't officers normally use the protection of their squad car doors when approaching suspects who potentially have guns? That's what I saw 2 weeks ago when I found five police cars, count them five, mistakenly stopping a civilian in a car near Frederick and Soquel one evening. Lots of cops with their guns out, but they were behind car doors. Of course, this guy wasn't some scruffy hippie with an attitude, but someone with at least enough money to own a car. Our Citizens Police Review Board has no answers. When a dozen or more non-police witnesses say one thing, no gun in Happy John's hand, no combat stance, no threatening behavior, and three police witnesses say something else, who do you believe? Our Citizens Police Review Board, believe the cops. They're closer. Why? What specifically makes cops who are likely to be charged with misconduct or worse more credible? Our Citizens Police Review Board has no answers. I notice a caller calling in. Hang in there, caller. I'm going to finish this speech and then I'm going to answer you. When the police department and the DA's office charged with investigating them puts out a ridiculous story in a press release that everyone, even people in the district attorney's office itself, rejects, what is the word for the kind of misconduct that involves systematically misinforming the public over a two-month period in order to protect the reputation of your department? And what is the penalty? We call it a cover-up and suggest that a change of personnel is in order. The Citizens Police Review Board calls it following procedures. Why? Our Citizens Police Review Board has no answers. The irony here is that the Citizens Police Review Board gave us an account that is probably closer to the truth, the story of Officer Carey, fundamentally, than that which the police department draped about itself and the Sentinel paraded on its front pages, the Newman Over story. Yet why should we believe it? Take their word and the word of a police department and DA investigators who came up with a distinctly different story that every non-police eyewitness disputed. Our Citizens Police Review Board has no answers. The Citizens Police Review Board is no stronger than the City Council that created it and appointed its personnel. It needs you, the City Council, and now you, the community, since the City Council has told us to take a hike. Good start. You've gotten closer to the truth, but you need to get closer. You've gotten close to the truth, but you need to get closer. You need to say, good start, but the public needs to know why you concluded what you did. Good start, but this is the first police slaying in nearly a decade, and the public has a right to public hearings and an independent investigation. Good start. I'm getting tired of reading my good starts, by the way. I don't think it really was such a good start, but it was a start. But for the peace of mind of our community, we need a public process that all can see, not action behind closed doors that can be easily dismissed as a rubber stamping. The Citizens Police Review Board says to trust it because it is, quote, sufficiently diverse with, quote, sensibilities, quote, in tune with the, quote, high ethical standards of the community, unquote. We say trust us with the facts, the witnesses, and a real investigation. Give us some real recommendations that challenge what happened on November 12th and make sure that it never happens again. The matter is now in the hands of the City Council, though I will also urge the Citizens Police Review Board to hold hearings into the police department's use of firearms and treatment of homeless people downtown. Good luck on their responding to that. There are also those who want to convene an independent tribunal. If enough people want to do this, I am willing to help. This was the speech I was unable to give at City Council. By the way, caller, if you want to call in quickly, and I believe it may have been our Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz calling in, we have about 4 minutes before Uncle Dennis comes on with his show to quickly give a report, and I think that's our call coming in.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Is this Bathrooms Pierce Broadside?
It is, and it sounds like this is Cop Watch Bob or Skidmarks Bob.
It could be. Yes, it could be.
What's happening?
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Well, I thought I'd let you, maybe some listeners, know that I've probably been playing tag and with the DA's office in my case against the cops stealing my tape recorder and scanner.
This is the case where you were observing a police sting in San Lorenzo Park, doing a kind of a cop watch where you used a scanner and you had your tape recorder with you, and they simply busted you for observing, right?
Doing my story on the drug war and its effects on the public and things like that, and I was arrested and charged with resisting arrest, obstructing, delaying, and was the other one, using a scanner in that crime, as a matter of fact.
And those charges were dismissed, but you never got back your scanner and your tape recorder.
Actually, they weren't even filed, and I was spent jail time. I was unlawfully arrested and detained, and they took all my stuff away, and that was back in the 12th of December. So now I finally got a okay from the DA after filing a motion and court to get my stuff back, and I should be getting it back tomorrow.
Congratulations.
And hopefully, the tape recorder will have a tape in it.
Let me add at this point, by the way, now that you're mentioning tomorrow, I invite people to come down at 9 o'clock to Department 1 in the case of Sean Alimi, who is a Feed the People activist who is facing five felonies and a possible penalty of 13 years for what he and his attorneys describe as bogus charges
right.
Around issues of providing marijuana to minors, and supposedly lewd and lascivious conduct. This is a preliminary arraignment, and I encourage people to come again. 9 o'clock tomorrow, Department 1, Sean Alimi, or Shit Kicker Sean, as I call him.
So if people wanted to hear my actual arrest, hopefully if the tape recorder tape is in the tape deck, I'll play it on my show tomorrow at 9 o'clock.
Excellent.
Bob Show.
So I'm glad to hear that, Bob.
Tune in.
Hey.
And drop out.
Hey, man. 9 o'clock tomorrow evening on Skidmark Bob's famous independent landscapes and soiled underwear.
That's it.
All right.
Got it, baby.
Thank you, Bob.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
So that's it. My apologies to Marco and Donna of the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz for running out of time for a report, and I hope that possibly we can do that a week from today when this show will return. We are going to be missing on Sunday because the station itself is going to be in the process of moving. Again, we need you to come down to the benefit on January 31st and February 1st, Saturday and Sunday, in the evening at 7:30 at What Is Art, because that's where you can actually help provide us with the wherewithal to get where we're going to go, to stay where we're going to stay. And actually, I think this is a temporary residence, so the station needs your help. Today, by the way, is Tom Paine's birthday. I don't know if any of you know Tom Paine. Great writer, pamphleteer that I like to think I get inspiration from. He helped to encourage and support and actually sprout the American Revolution. He wrote, you can catch his stuff in the library. It's called Common Sense. And he was actually one of the first mass writers of his time. He wrote broadsides, as we call them. That's why I call my show Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. Broadside, of course, is sort of a pamphlet. It's what you do when a ship shoots at another ship, ship to ship, side to side. It's kind of a full-on attack, broadsides. Also happening tonight, by the way, free at the Civic Auditorium, in case you don't want to come down to the Santa Cruzans for Full Disclosure, which is happening at the Coffee Roasting Company at 8:30, and I invite you to come there. Medgar Evers' widow. Medgar Evers was a civil rights activist shot dead by racists in the South in the mid-60s. His widow is speaking at the Civic Auditorium tonight, and you can go down there. That's right across from the public library.
Actually, Robert, Medgar Evers was shot in the back.
Thank you very much, Uncle Dennis. So he got it even worse than Happy John Dine, but they both are just as dead at this point. As is the investigation, apparently, but maybe we can do something about that. So come on down. Let me say goodnight for the moment until next week, and invite you to stay tuned to Uncle Dennis's show, and he can give you a little update on what that's going to be. I'll throw a little music into the hopper and then turn the mic over to Dennis, and thank you for staying with me. Any comments on this show, give a call to 423-HUFF. Join me next week at this time, 6 o'clock, for the next edition of Bathrobes Pierre's Broadside. maybe we'll have a better tape at that time as well. Dennis, you've got a good tape. Why don't we move directly into your show? This is